Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Mad Tech Podcast. I'm Matt Brawson, editor of Exchange Wire, and our special guest today is Rowena Spencer, who is a media and marketing specialist. She's previously worked with brands such as Infinitive, Brand Networks, and NBC Universal. Rowena, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
No problem. Lovely to have you. And we're joined by the calm and benevolent presence of Exchange Wire CEO, Ciarán O'Kane.
Hello, Matt.
The one week I'm on.
How are you, Ciarán?
I'm very well. It's your first time hosting this.
It is.
You're doing very well so far.
Me or Matt?
Both of you. And we thank you for coming in today.
Right, and our first story of the week is that the Federal Trade Commission is sending orders to examine AppNexus, Oath, and other advertising subsidiaries owned by broadband companies. Similar orders were in place for parent companies AT&T and Verizon Communications. However, these have now been withdrawn in order to focus on their respective advertising divisions. While this isn't a full-stage investigation yet, the FTC is seeking information on the type of personal information collected and whether this includes things like special category data, text users notices for gathering user consent, and the procedures for allowing consumers to access and change their, you know,
privacy settings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is kind of reflective of a volatile and new landscape within the US privacy ecosystem, and has implications for the telcos, which have previously been touted as major players within the identity market and also as potential disruptors to the walled gardens. So, Ciarán, what are your thoughts on this?
So this is just the start of it, isn't it? Like, we've had to endure a lot of this in Europe. Like, we've had big fines of several privacy breaches. The BA example was one. Who was the other one? There was another big one as well.
Marriott.
So, I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, this is going to come. The US is now going to have to deal with this. And we've been saying this for at least 2 years, that Europe would be the first, and now we're seeing it in the US. So I'm not surprised by this at all. Have these companies sort of prepped themselves for this type of, investigation? Probably not, because they weren't expecting it. I mean, there's legislation coming in the US. CCPA, is that right?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Maybe they've formed task force to kind of get ahead of CCPA. But, and I hope you didn't select this article purely because I'm American and should know
not
the difference between the FTC and FCC. But if you quiz me on it, I'm not sure I'd be able to tell you explicitly. I think, you know, they are getting into the position of having task force to work around some of the stuff because of CCPA coming into effect in 2020. But I think they had revoked the request that they sent out to like Xfinity, T-Mobile, and a few other companies.
Yes, yeah.
Right, which is interesting because you have Comcast, who acquired Sky, and arguably Sky is kind of ahead of the game with GDPR here in the UK. There's probably a lot that Comcast can and will learn, and NBCU as well, from that acquisition, whereas you have Verizon and AT&T perhaps a little bit behind the game and just gearing up for a CCPA.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that they're investigating here without any real legislation in place. There's no federal law in the US around privacy. There's lots of state laws, but nothing at the federal level, which is because obviously with the US being, you know, a federal state, you have state laws and federal laws, and federal law usurps state law. So there's nothing yet. But this is quite interesting that they've gone down this route. There's, you know, this is going to be really interesting next year. Like, a lot of the American companies kind of turn a blind eye to the privacy piece. A lot of them withdrew from Europe, ad tech companies in specifically, because we can't deal with this. And it was always coming. So I'm not, you know, it shouldn't really be a surprise to anybody.
Yeah. And in terms of, like you said earlier, in terms of it's quite fragmented in the landscape. And in terms of what you said earlier, in terms of not, you know, FCC or FTC, it's been literally kicked from pillar to post between them.
Yeah.
I think last year the FTC had jurisdiction, then the FCC had it, and Trump was kind of, I think he was instrumental in revoking one of their...
Signed an agreement between the two in 2017, there was a great video of Trump on a memorandum of understanding that's on China policy, which we don't have to get into, but they at least signed an agreement that they would work together to protect consumers. So hopefully you won't see that kind of bouncing back and forth between the two government bodies as much in the future, but they're certainly focusing on, their focus is the telcos, which is why, you know, AT&T and Verizon are the predominant ones in this investigation. I also found it interesting that it's still all Oath and AppNexus as opposed to using any new branding that they've apparently come out with. But, you know, minor details.
Is it kind of, they're kind of investigating Oath and AppNexus for the use of specific data in the ad targeting piece.
Yes,
so that's, and then their gripe is that no user has the ability to opt out of that process. Or has he been changed their settings?
That it's not clear.
I think the orders are to examine it to establish whether that is the case or whether users do have, you know, meaningful consent. And I think it feeds in with the whole content management platform argument that's going on over here. So it's quite interesting in that regard.
I always found it interesting when this first came out, you know, AT&T bought Time Warner and then bought AppNexus and said, and likewise Verizon by an oath, that we'll feed our data into this into the targeting piece within the ad tech platform. I was going, really? And what does users think about that? Like, you know, where do I as a user have the opportunity to say, well, no, I don't want to be targeted, or I want to opt out of this process? Because like, you know, I always thought that this was a ticking time bomb. Like, I was just too good to be true. Like, oh yeah, we're going to compete with Facebook and Google. But remember, Facebook and Google are closed ecosystems. They have their own, they have their own sort of walled garden, and they opt in users in and out of the process. I know they're being investigated by various DPAs across Europe, but at the same time, they have a process. Where I always found that it was free with people's data on specifically IP related data or identifiable data, particularly because I remember Form, the guys were here a couple of years ago were on about using broadband data to target people, and there was an uproar in Europe. Like, literally they were hounded out of the industry. So there's something similar going on here.
You haven't had those acquisitions here. Like,
yeah.
That's why I think the NBCU Sky, how that plays out will be really interesting. Mm.
It's still good data, though. It's just how they use it.
Yeah. You know? Do you reckon it will force them to maybe scale back on their data-driven advertising play or bring in more partners to kind of mitigate that risk?
They're going to have to kind of put in some of opt-out process, but then I guess until they see a federal law, it's very hard to kind of, how do you build for something you're not really sure of, right?
Yeah.
Until it goes through the Senate or the House and is rubber stamped by politicians, then how do you build something that you're not really sure what's going to happen, like, you know?
Yeah, there's sort of two approaches to all of these things, right? There's like the band-aid approach that you kind of keep iterating and trying to keep up and finding tools that can help you manage through that initial change, or you sort of go the other complete direction and do, you know, ultimately the most extreme, what you think is the gold standard and right, and what will maybe eventually happen in the future, but requires a lot more upfront work and redesign and redevelopment to actually get that to work.
And you kind of seen Stage's live intent bought that Dutch company, can't remember it now, Tim Geenen's in there, as a starter for a CMP, like, so, you know, consent management platform.
Mm-hmm.
So you're starting to see big companies make moves, and so you're going to start... American listeners, you're definitely going to see more pop-ups on your screens. A pop-up is coming to you. Yeah. Consent or not consent?
Oh, that was the thing that I found interesting, because you mentioned the Irish DPC investigation into Verizon as well. And that, like, if you go to one of the Verizon properties from here now, like a TechCrunch or Huffington Post, you just get a screen that says, like, basically it's very clear if you're okaying their use of cookies or not. And you can, you know, if you wanted to go down the path of 10 pages deep of tailoring all of your preferences, you could. Whereas some of the other publications, it is, you know, way more obvious to select okay, I accept, than any other alternative.
Exactly.
So there's no way that they were the only ones getting that complaint or the only ones in violation of that.
Yeah.
Which makes it quite interesting why they're specifically going after the telcos in that respect rather than just...
Well, I think that's why it is FTC and FCC, because they can... They're narrow in the sense that
someone's obviously made a complaint or someone's made a, you know, some kind of like legal complaint about those companies, and that's been followed up by the commissions. But it's very difficult to legislate for that because there's no federal law, right? You've got all these state laws, which are very different. The best thing the US can do now is get federal law in place, which basically protects users' privacy. And we have to accept the fact that we are now in a privacy-first environment, and we just have to roll with the punches, basically.
So, moving on to our second story of the week. In a climb down on its paywall strategy in deference to its ad-funded model, YouTube is making all of its original programming available for free when it's first broadcast for a limited time window which hasn't yet been specified. While this has been on the cast since, I think, December last year, the move confirms that YouTube execs are attempting to differentiate the platform from upcoming streaming services from the likes of Apple and Disney, which are only available at the moment, well, will be only available under a subscription model, as well as, you know, the established offerings such as Netflix. YouTube's existing catalogue of existing content will remain behind the premium paywall.
What have they got? What have YouTube got?
This is the exact
point. I didn't
point.
Even know that subscription
content model. Wise or
what do YouTube have as original?
I don't think I'm their target audience for this.
Every single article I've read on it has mentioned the well-reviewed Cobra Kai series.
Cobra
and
Kai?
Else.
What? The fucking dudes from
the Karate Kid follow-up.
Cobra Kai
yeah.
guy.
Hence why I don't think
Karate Kid.
And that's literally it. So, you know, you get, you know, latest series from Netflix and Amazon being talked about, but who talks about the latest series on YouTube?
Nobody. That's who.
Well, maybe we're not talking to the right people in that sense, but I think they
Cobra Kai died.
Like they're off. Offering it free but ad supported, right? So they're actually still getting some revenue from their free offering. And to me, like, how is it any different in that sense versus any other subscription offering a free trial, right? Their goal is to hook a user, get you to, you know, be really invested in watching Cobra Kai. So you pay their $12 premium to subscribe. And they sit on a ton of data that they can understand what actually will resonate with consumers. You know, we've always talked about Netflix and their recommendation algorithms and how they do a really good job of that. YouTube's data troves of what is popular and what resonates will really, I think, allow them to create content in the future that they know will do well.
So you think it's an algo play rather than because you think about Google, it's not a content company. You know what I mean? I am going to buy a subscription to
Disney
Plus.
Yeah, but neither
Plus.
Is Facebook and Instagram, yeah. And they have Facebook Watch and IGTV now. So it's all the...
Yeah, but it's UGC stuff, though. It's user-generated content. That, for me, is what
yeah,
YouTube
most of,
is.
Yeah, exactly.
Music videos and UGC. I can't see Google carving out a substantial subscription base around YouTube subscriptions or whatever the hell they call it, YouTube Red or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you think about the power plays, we're thinking about Netflix, we're thinking about Now TV, which is the Sky,
Prime,
and we're thinking about Amazon.
Yep.
But then after that, you're looking, right, we will probably all subscribe to Disney Plus because they've got new Star Wars shows coming on.
Exactly, yeah. They've got such an extensive back catalogue.
Yeah, and their back catalogue's huge. So they're the four that you will subscribe. Google doesn't even come on my radar. Like I'm going, why would I subscribe? Like Google could produce stuff, but is it really going to pile tons of money when it's, you know, YouTube makes $25 billion in ad revenue every year. Why would they bother with this shit? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
They can afford.
I just said two curse words there. I'm going to get fined by the FTC.
I didn't even register that. But they can afford to play with different pricing models, right?
Yeah.
Like a Netflix can't in that sense. They don't have the infrastructure to have an ad sales supported model, whereas YouTube already has that. So trying out subscription for them is like no big deal.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. But maybe they want to do it for the things like YouTube Kids, right? I'm a relatively new parent, so I would want to potentially not have any advertising and really control that content. So I'd probably pay for that. No idea whether they
offered
that.
Well, weren't they fined there for misusing data to target kids with ads?
Yeah, but why wouldn't they do a subscription model so they don't have to rely on that?
Right, okay. But that's probably what... Is this subscription model including the kids thing? Because I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's just general, their entire premium offering. So it includes music as well, which business model makes a bit more sense to me. Because obviously,
watch videos
you listen.
Free, though. Yeah. Is that the whole point of it? Ad-funded model, like you know, watch an ad, then watch a music video. What's the
definition of free? Now you're giving it away with your time spent watching an ad.
Yeah, but what's
your 5 seconds before you can click skip?
Doesn't this come back to the whole ad-funded model? I think we're coming back to a realization that we don't have we only have a finite amount of money, right? It's not like we're all rolling cash at the minute, right? It's expensive to have 6-7 different subscriptions going. I think YouTube need to focus back on the ad funder model. It's interesting. We you know, the Information, which is a tech blog or tech news site, which is subscription only, and IMAX is subscribers, very, very good. But it's actually now realizing that, you know, we need to sell ads and just hire an ad salesperson. Just for, I find that half medium, but there's been such an aggressive swing away from ads, which people are realizing now, well, you know, it's okay if I ad fund the model. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know why there isn't more of like, and I know there are companies that offer this, but, you know, a penny per story and you have your little like news budget that you can spend here and there. Yeah. And there are companies like Nickel that offer that. And that
isn't that what Apple's trying to do, isn't it? A subscription bundle, like
I don't know how they pay the publishers. You
they're
know.
Not paying the publishers very much.
See,
that's
but
the point.
Then why would you, in that sense? Then there's no incentive. But if publishers are getting paid, and they're in some instance, I mean, that's what this is all about. In some ways, right? You don't want to block content so only the people who can to the subscription model, only the people who can afford to pay it. Are then the ones reading the content, right? That's restrictive in its own right.
But people don't hate ads. Like, there's this misconception that people... Like, there's a misconception that people can afford to pay for every subscription. I see it all the time. We're going to go behind a paywall. I'm going, great. Why would I pay money to you? Like, if you think about general news, right? I just don't see the logic of paying for the Times or the Telegraph or...
Especially if it's an article when here
it's
and there.
Most of that information is free. The Guardian's given free, but they go around with that begging bowl thing, which is embarrassing. But, you know, you pay for the FT because it's the FT, right? You pay for Wall Street Journal because it's the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
These are like, this is business critical information, right? I pay for a couple of Irish newspapers because they're Irish newspapers and I want to access certain things.
Supporting them.
Yeah, and there's like more about sports and stuff. So there has to be some rationale, but there's every single business, media business, think we're going to pay subscriptions. It's misguided. And I think that we start to think about ads as a means to pay the bills. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think we've taken the piss over the last couple of years in regards to how we use people's data and how many ads are put on page. And that's just not a good user experience. So if we can improve the user experience and ads will come back, I think like you look at the success of things like Pluto TV and Tubi, or I don't even know how to pronounce it. I always get that wrong. But they're all ad-funded, free models for content. So there's nothing wrong with this, but...
Right. Like in some ways, we've brought things on ourselves by annoying users to the point that they don't accept something that should be fine and acceptable, right? For years and years and years, you had TV ads, and it was just fine, right? That was the behavior that we all knew. But now we're in an on-demand era where we don't want any intrusion. So how do we kind of work around that so things aren't intrusive, or there are options for people who don't want something that is intrusive and other options for people who don't mind, you know, whatever it is that is on display as well.
But there's companies out there who are doing in-stream advertising, so like dynamic advertising in-stream. So like, you know, you're going to see a product, a Coke can or some kind of washing up brand somewhere along the line by it kind of dynamically inserted into like these streaming. So you're already paying a subscription. Like I think this ads are for like, you know, for poor people is utter bullshit, like, because even rich people can't afford 20 different subscriptions.
Exactly, when you've got news falling behind subscription models, when you've got, you know, who's going to be paying for Disney and Apple and Netflix and Amazon Prime?
Exactly, we haven't even mentioned Apple. Like, Apple are going to, like, this is the problem. How many subscriptions can one person or one family afford? It's just not, are you really?
Or manage. I'm drowning. I have like 10.
We're all drowning in content. Like, all the I don't know if this is a trend, but I certainly do it. You start a series, you don't finish it. I don't know if you've been like, it's almost like I'm halfway through going, this is too much. And then you just abandon it. I'm sure everything's the same way. I have loads of abandoned series. Yeah. I feel bad about it. Maybe I just give a bit more time to Ozark or whatever, you know, finish that show. I'm going, I didn't like that episode. I'm not going back to it. Like, so, you know what I mean? It's almost like hard to focus on some series when there's so much content.
Yeah. Well, you just brought up the other pricing model, right? The individual shows on demand that YouTube Prime has, right? Which annoys me because I think when I'm paying for Prime, I get, you know, most things included, and then they're like, and it's £3 for this one episode. I'm sorry.
What annoys me when they have like one series and then, what's the next series? I have to pay for that. Why not just have all the series?
Right. But that's another pricing model that
I tend to buy a lot of films on Amazon. I have a library of stuff where I've given Amazon a ton of money, and I'll dump it and go, no, I'll just lose all those films I paid for. So now I'm trapped. Amazon has trapped me in Prime. Yeah. Can't get out. Help! Yeah.
I'm in the same boat, so.
Yeah, we're all in the same boat.
Yeah. Good job, Amazon.
Yeah, they're clever. I mean, they've got some good show. In fairness, they've got the Picard thing, which I'm looking forward to. And they've got the Lord of the Rings. So Amazon has me because they've got two really, really big series coming up. And they had Dr. Robot? What do you call it? Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot.
I really loved the first two series. That guy from who played...
Remy.
Yeah.
He's good. Mindhunter is the one I'm on right now.
Yeah. It's on Netflix though, isn't it?
You know what? I should know what platform I'm watching it on.
It is on Netflix. Are you in the first series? Because you talk about that big fat lad.
No, I'm in second.
Who does some really dark stuff. Anyway.
Probably best to move on.
Let's move on. We'll move to that show.
Kieran reciting his favourite films and TV shows. Our final news story of the week is that Mozilla is now blocking third-party cookies and crypto mining default in its Firefox browser for its enhanced tracking protection feature. This was previously an opt-in feature, and approximately 20% of the browser's users had... enabled it, but now it's opt out. You can opt out of it, but in early non-scientific testing, i.e. us having a play around with a few sites, the feature leads to a dramatic reduction in ad types.
Everything
exactly, like I've seen screenshots of ad blockers which don't block as many ads as their enhanced tracking.
So it's interesting though, if you because I've been seeing this in the incognito version, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The shield appears on the URL area, right? So it's on the left-hand side, right? And it's enabled automatically in incognito, and it blocks everything. Yeah. It blocks... If you go to the Guardian, right? There's no ads running in it, right? It blocks DFP or Google Ad Manager, so you can't even do third-party ads. There's no analytics. There's nothing. It's interesting. And now they're making that standard on the free version or the open version.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But Mozilla's still got a tiny share of the market. I think it's inconsequential, really. I don't know what their overall share is.
It's around 4%.
4% of the global population.
It's UK market, 4%. They have 4% around 250,000.
It's around an error, isn't it, really?
Yeah, but it's about the direction that things are going, right? And if we keep saying like, oh, it's minimal, and I have back to the workarounds, like I have a workaround for that, and I can wait and see. Like eventually all these things are going to catch up, right? If like Safari, I'm one of those potentially weird users, I don't know, who uses Safari on my phone because it's there, but Chrome on my laptop. So there are already discrepancies in terms of who I am as a user if you're trying to track me across devices.
Yeah.
Whereas, Safari on a mobile device, what now? They've deprecated first-party cookies after 24 hours. So third-party cookies were always blocked. So if you've sort of taken the approach of like, I'm just going to ignore that for now and see what happens, Safari's mobile, browser percentage is in the 50% range for mobile traffic. And a lot of our traffic now is on mobile devices. So I think it is starting, things... The change of that nature is starting to catch up with things where it's not in aggregate, it's not just a small percentage that's impacted, and you really have to kind of break things down. And if we're not dealing with the gaps properly in the data due to these changes, then there could be a bigger impact.
So you've worked with a lot of big brands, right? So what did they think about this in terms of how, if you think about, where we're going with this, and you're right, there's no doubt that this is coming to Google. Google have got a grand plan, and one of the shoes hasn't dropped yet, right?
Yeah.
They will definitely bring in some form of ITP. They've kind of just played nice with the industry because they're under serious pressure from the various antitrust investigations, right? Which I find there's a few open in Europe, and I think a few open in the US. So it's interesting, though, that it's coming, right? But as a brand, right? And you've got millions of spend and millions of dollars of spend in euros and pounds in digital.
Yeah.
And you're going, well, I want to do some basic stuff. Like I want to measure the success of this campaign, right? I want to be able to build an attribution model. I want to be able to do frequency capping, right? Yeah. Especially your DR client, right? It's not about reach and frequency, because that's just, I just use TV for that, like.
Yeah.
So how do you, as a marketer, or how is your clients then working around this? Because it has to be a bloody pain in the neck.
Yeah. So I've worked on both the publisher side and, you know, with marketers at Infinitive, and this impacts both of them, right? We have the monetization side for the publishers. We have the attribution look back windows for analytics on both marketer and publisher side. You have conversion windows that are impacted now for the marketers.
There is no conversion windows.
Well, again, back to the Safari example, you have basically nothing if you're relying even on first party cookies after a day. So I think the first thing is, you don't know what you don't know. If you're not asking the right questions to try and understand, again, where the gaps in your data are, and you don't know what percentage of conversions, traffic, et cetera, are coming from the different platforms, you don't necessarily know that you have a gap and that these things won't tie together. So it's really about understanding, like, what information do you have? What are you missing? What platforms can offer some level of help in the interim? So, you know, the move is to block third-party cookies. There are solutions like Adobe who make you pay more for it, but you can, you know, use their analytics in a first-party cookie method. Google, as far as I know, doesn't offer that kind of solution with Google Analytics. So they have to come up with other solutions, to your point, before they potentially do something like this in Chrome as well, which is eventually how I would think things end up. But, you know,
we're coming close to this. You know, Andrew Casale did it in his presentation at the Index Exchange conference recently. Anonymous web versus the authenticated web.
Mm.
So, like, you know, if even first party cookies activated on a Safari device, right? Like, you still can't. I mean, after 24 hours, you have no idea if that user could come back the next day. You have no idea that user. So you have no way to count the ads as users. So, you know, and like the whole link decoration stuff, I mean, because we played around with this as well. You have no way to attribute a link to a specific spend, right? Because there's no way that you can't link the click to whatever. Yeah. So you're almost blind in Safari. I mean, there are vendors out there, so we can do this. But it then comes down to contextual. You know, is it just going to be textual or just a straight up affiliate link, right? So, you know, when the person's clicked the ad and they've bought something, you can go, well, I know they've bought it from this person or you know, I can attribute to this person. But there's no way to do, there's no way to measure display.
Right.
Because there's no cookie window, right? So how do you, if you're a planner and you go,
going back to brand
status. Yeah. No. Well, what then, brand metrics, so reach and frequency, is that what you want to really do in display? Is that what display is going to be?
But at the same time,
three months later.
So direct response to me is dead in Safari. Literally is dead. It's not going to work because there's no way to measure a display. Okay. And that for me is the fact that nobody's talking about that surprises me.
Yeah, and same. Again, it's about like the increase, like mobile traffic has been increasing for how many years? And then we've been saying the cookie is dying for that number of years as well. But, you know, we're still not necessarily breaking things down and coming up with solutions that actually work. And you can have privacy safe analytics if that's your main thing as an analytics problem. But obviously on the pub side, the monetization aspect, maybe they'll restrict access until you change your browser settings.
But will the fact that Safari is trying to break the open web piss a lot of users off and they'll start using Chrome? I'd be interested to see the market share increase. I have a feeling Chrome's market share will increase. Listeners.
What if things just
people
stop
don't
working
give a shit
Safari?
About privacy? Yeah. If you start breaking shit, right, people will leave, right? People don't care, right? If Google can offer some lip service to this, then I reckon that Chrome will start to increase. Because you got lots of Apple users who are using Chrome anyway, because the Safari browser is crap. Yeah. It is a crap browser. Its functionality is it's so bad. It's like for infants. No offense, Runa.
It's just on my phone.
Just on your phone. But you use Chrome on desktop.
So Apparently, I'm half an infant.
Yeah. So, you know, it feels to me that people are going to, like, Safari, like, Apple need to be careful here, right? Because people would just stop using Safari, in my view.
But the risk I see in that is you don't want the backlash to fall upon the publishers. So if you say the FT, you know, does put controls saying, you know, change to a different browser.
Or does it,
I wouldn't necessarily say Safari would get the backlash from that.
So
I'd say users would look at the publishers and go, oh, they're denying me access.
I would force a different publisher. I would force login. I would force a login on all Safari users. I would say, I'm sorry, but to use this site, you need to log in. And that's the way out. Because, like, as far as I'm concerned, Apple are just free, like, Safari users, no offense, Marina, are freeloading, right? Not through their own.
I do have Chrome downloaded, not through their own.
Apple has basically made all Safari users freeloaders. That's what they are, right? They're getting free content for nothing, right? So if you think about the basic things, like particularly in RTB, right, cookie match, you can't do that in Safari anymore, right? It's impossible. So RTB doesn't work in Safari, right? So that's a problem. And it feels to me that money's been piled into Google. And, you know, the funny thing is, Google just are laughing here, because they'll offer some kind of lip service to user privacy, but most people don't care.
Yeah.
If
they do care, they'll go seek out those browsers in some ways that they want.
Yeah, I mean, they're the gnawers of the internet. Like, you know, let them have what they want, like, you know, and just let the rest of us get on with it. The fact that Mozilla has 4% speaks volumes to me. Like, all this, posturing about privacy, it just hasn't done them any good.
Their market share
is still flat.
Yeah, maybe not, but at the same time, you know, they've been very much on the privacy bandwagon for a while, and these moves have been forecast, and yet you see, at least on the publisher side of things, they haven't got the alternative set up to show advertising on Firefox. And obviously Safari's had that for a fair while now, so...
But is there a deeper... I mean, I'm seriously mistrustful of Apple. I just think they are the most duplicitous company in the whole space, right? Because they're building a big service business, which will include advertising, right?
Yeah, of course.
So they're forcing everybody off the open web into their app ecosystem where they can charge
30%. But you're more trusting
of Google? Sorry. At least Google need the open web because they need to fuel the search business. So, you know, they are in favor of... I'm on Google's side here, like, you know, as much as they get hammered by a lot of people, I think they're genuinely trying to walk a fine line. Apple just don't want to talk to anybody.
I mean, they have to walk a fine line, don't they?
Yeah, but Apple don't want to talk to anybody. They don't want to engage with anybody. The publishers, the advertisers.
Because they don't have as much ad spend skin in the game that, you know, Google does in that sense. But I think it's, you know, we don't normally have, like, Facebook isn't impacted by this type of stuff. But with
login.
But with the Firefox update, they actually, I think, are blocking all social container tags, the social tags as well.
Interesting.
So, you know, any of the pixels that Facebook is firing on social logins or like buttons, etc.
It can't work.
There's a Facebook container to block that as well. So maybe silver lining is there's some impact there that we can, you know, that's a way that Facebook today, in my opinion, just kind of gobbles up all of the conversion attribution data and says, well, you know.
Yeah, look. But then Facebook have the advantage of being a logged in entity. So it's a first party domain, and they can just basically they'll suck up more spend. Like, you know what I mean? They can do frequency capping, they can do targeting within their domain. So it doesn't, like, these laws don't really affect Google and Facebook. If anything, make them stronger. It's depressing that, like, that legislators have decided to make these companies stronger. Like, but ad tech innovates and it will get away around this. So Safari, I reckon in 2 years your little ploy will have failed massively. So there you go, Tim. Smoke that.
But then what will happen when Google does eventually block third-party cookies as well? So then we're on to universal. You don't think so? Ever?
No, because...
Is this a Stein bet? I'm going to come back in 2 years and say, you said.
I think they'll do something, but it won't... Look, they have to play nice. Google are I still think that Google will be broken up. I think they'll either lose Chrome or they would probably lose Chrome and YouTube. I think YouTube is the one thing that could be taken away from Google very easily, and it would then be the third biggest search business in the world and be a $25 billion ad business. I mean, YouTube's ad business is bigger than the entire TV ad business in Europe. I mean, it's a colossal. But at the same, that's why they have to play nice, because any move to block independent ad tech or, you know, competitors.
Yeah,
we'll be seen as an antitrust move.
Exactly.
But do you, obviously, they've recently come out and released their privacy sandbox. Do you reckon that'll be kind of it as such, or do you, will they see, you know,
they will
further iterations of, oh, we're just going to quietly block this aspect of tracking, oh, we're going to quietly block this, and eventually it ends up to the point where they've essentially cut off third-party cookie tracking?
I don't think they will block third-party cookies. I mean, I kind of think that they will, they'll come up with a googly type of thing that would probably suit them, but also they will help the industry. And the funny thing, there's a lot of these companies being sued right now under GDPR by the likes of Johnny Ryan and the rest of them. But even Johnny Ryan realizes that there has to be some middle ground. We can't have extremists, kind of extreme positioning. So we have to meet in the middle somewhere to, you know, to A, look after user privacy, but B, have a functioning internet. Because at the end of the day, ads are the main way that that content is paid for on the internet. And if you take that away as a means, then there is no internet. It's just basically the rich and the poor. There's no way to access quality content, because we need a functioning internet. And, you know, a lot of people have their, are down on ad tech as a thing, but it is basically the blood and guts of monetization on the internet, right? When we'll find a way around this, not in the spirit of law and obviously taking privacy for it. It's a privacy-forced environment. We have to figure this out.
Yeah, and I think that can happen. I mean, whether third-party cookies still get deprecated and we move to first-party cookies and the unified ID solutions and, you know, marketers are bigger on second-party data marketplace deals, like those kind of things, I would think there might be a shift there. So the third-party cookie deprecation, you know, then seems like it's more acceptable as all of these other areas get figured out where there isn't as much of a reliance on that, given all the areas where it's currently breaking. Timeline for that,
I mean,
I'm not a betting person.
I did write about this a couple of weeks ago about the ad tech needs to wise up to this. And mm-hmm. I said one of the things that publishers do is force a login on all Safari users. So show some of the article and say, look, we're not going
to
use your data, but we need to know who we're dealing with here. Like, we need to know. And, you know, you might lose 60, 70% of the traffic, but who cares? Because at the end of the day, the BBC, go to the BBC if you want it, but then it's the BBC you're reading all the time, but you're not reading the Times or the Guardian. But you need to have an idea. That's the only way I can see around this Safari thing. Because, as you say, if you even set a first, all these ad tech companies going, we're a first party cookie in the page, going, that's fine for 24 fucking hours. After that, you've no idea who this
still
person
only
is.
Safari, to your point. So if Chrome doesn't follow suit with at least the time deprecation, you're still in like, anyway.
Yeah, but you're still discounting 40, I don't know what the market's in the UK. It's 36, no, overall, they've got 36% share
Safari.
Of
Safari.
Of browser market in the UK. That's probably counting the heavy phone number. So, you know, I think there's ways to counter this, and I think that you're looking at, unless you want the anonymous web just to show random ads, that's what's going to happen in Safari. I'm already seeing it. Like, you see the lowest level AdSense ads running on publisher sites, like real crap.
Yeah.
So,
but we're also like only thinking then, to your point, about like the big name publishers that would have login credentials, right? There's an entire long tail that, you know, blogged, like you guys, I'm assuming, would you force logins?
So we don't have to worry about that because we're not selling. Well, we're not selling on we're not targeting users. We don't serve any targeted. We serve contextual ads, right? We're not doing anything with anybody's data, so we're not retargeting anybody.
AdSense, ad exchange.
So what I would suggest is, if you're like all those long tail publishers are mostly on the WordPress platform. Yeah. So it's a simple thing. You log in once, you're logged into every WordPress site. But that makes WordPress incredibly powerful.
Exactly.
That's why that business could be even more valuable than it is already. So that's one way around it, because it is a platform.
Yep. No, I agree.
CMSs could be you could have
any authentication layer.
That would be my solution.
there. But do you reckon these solutions, obviously we've got, you know, the ICO report that came out, they've given, you know, I think there's 4 months left of that 6 month timeline, and then they've said they're going to, you know, start cracking down. Do you think such solutions will be
cookies, or
they're looking at in general? And I think unless there's kind of willful acts on the ad tech industry to be like, we are making changes here, then they're going to really start cracking down. And I think can such solutions be developed in such a quick time frame?
I mean, I think the IAB has been, IAB Europe or IAB Tech Lab have been trying to build that TCF thing, which is currently being also sued by Johnny Ryan for contravening trade. Johnny's just basically one man wrecking ball these days, sits and writes out like papers trying to sue people, everybody. I've heard from various people that legitimate interest has been passed as consent. Right, they're classing, if you're on the page, you know there's ads, and they pass that in the consent string. So there is definitely a lot of stuff the ad tech industry could be doing, but then again, it comes down to the framework we're using. Like, so there's a version 2 of the TCF coming out. Is that right?
It's just being released.
Right. So the first thing I would have been doing as the IAB is going to talk to the ICO. Does this make
yeah, that, and they have been working with it, and right. that it, in terms of what the TCF covers, from what I've heard, they've been, you know, very happy about that. But at the same time, there's lots of different aspects of RTB which aren't covered by the TCF, which apparently will still be under scrutiny after the 6 month time period.
Didn't they say, like, what is this the definition of what is an essential versus like a non-essential cookie? And then they said,
special category data on top of that.
Are non-essential. They're not required for the website to actually work. So they fall under non-essential.
That's nonsense. For the website, you need to know who's visiting your site. How do you build content if you have no idea who your audience is? That's utter nonsense. See, this is the problem.
Not my definition.
Yeah. I just find this. I find a lot of this stuff. It's too woolly, right? And there's nothing laid down. Like, the idea that analytics is not non-essential, that's just garbage, because it is essential. You need
But then you can have what they would determine as then a privacy-safe analytics alternative that isn't reliant on third-party.
Well, then that's where we're going to go here, right? We're going to have people who've opted out, right? And they're going to get a shitty experience. And you could literally serve them any kind of content because you've no idea who they are. It's kind of like, I think that
We're not in any better of a place.
But I feel that the likes of Johnny Ryan don't consider this, right? Well, you have to serve, it's a law, you've got to be served the same content. Go, no, we don't, because I have no idea who you are. So how do we personalize content? You can get, and then the site could be just absolute garbage. It could be just basically blocks of text and all the rest of it, because we can't afford it. We can't afford to serve you the right thing. Whereas the guy who's, or the girl who's opted in for ads and all the rest of it, is going to have a perfect experience, right? Because... Listen, lads, someone has to pay for this shit.
Well, if people knew that differentiation and it was that stark, it would probably be a great thing for the industry in that sense.
I want to see some people do this. I really do. I think this is the way to do it, because it would guilt people into saying, well, you know,
get something in return.
Exactly. Yeah. The problem we have at the minute is we have one side of the story, right? We have a lot of these privacy people just dictating the terms, right? And I said, what's the value add, right?
Yeah.
Ads help to fund content. You need to... I think the IAB has failed the industry in being able to lobby properly in our behalf. I think they haven't done a good job at all. I mean, it's very, very, very... I shouldn't really be criticizing, but they're the body that represents digital advertising. I think that they should be doing a better job at lobbying and getting in the ear of journalists and putting our case across, because it hasn't been put across very well. And every time we try and do it, we look like monsters, like we're evil. You want to steal my data? You want to know what my sexuality is? When you know where I want to go and all this location? It's like, well, no, it's anonymized.
Yeah, crap. Good content and a good experience.
It's a piece of JavaScript.
Pay for it in some, you know, nondescript way. Then
exactly, and like you say, it's the anonymized tags. It's not, you know, this. You know, it's not like advertiser XYZ is looking at you and going, oh, this is what this person individually is doing. It's building up the general...
But in a 20% of web, which is just the non-logged-in web, the web we occupy, it's assumptions, right? It's assuming that you've been here, that this is here. It's like they're guessing about you. So, like, this entire argument has become absolutely convoluted. We seem to have been lumped in with the real privacy breaches, like the Marriott's and the BAs of the world, right? Apparently, like, JavaScript's become evil all of a sudden. I'm going, how did this happen?
Yeah.
How does a piece of code on a page that helps you log in, right? So, like, the other thing about Safari is, if that first-party cookie is deprecated every day, you have to log into the same feckin' site every single day. And this is what I'm talking about, user experience.
Yeah.
Apple need to be very careful about this. Because if I was doing all that, going,
not bothering.
I'm not going to bother. I'm just going to use Chrome. So there could be a whole new area of the browser market is up for grabs. Like, so, you know. Anyway, I'm through ranting about this very subject.
That brings us just about to the end of the podcast. Rowena, thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thanks so much for having me again. Hope to see you guys Monday at least.
Well, we hope to see you Monday. So are you sort of, what's your what are you up to at the minute? Are you...
So looking for what's next, as I mentioned, on the market, I guess, as I would say. My previous company has unfortunately stopped the UK operation. So just talking to a lot of folks right now, trying to figure out what's next. I've worked, as I said, publisher side, buy side, and for an ad tech company. So, you know, brand side or agency side, I haven't touched yet. So maybe that might be a good next step.
Brand whisperer, you're kind of talking to the brands.
I'm trying to figure out where the next fit is, and in the meantime just doing some little projects here and there and a lot of market research, so you know, all new acronym stuff and trying to figure out.
And if there's one constituency that probably needs more help than the publishers, it's probably the brands, because it's interesting, like, you know, you hear about the publishers, so how do we deal with this, but then the brands are going, right, what do we do, especially brands with no data?
Well, and we talked about, you know, the publisher monetization aspect, which is an immediate one from the ad perspective, but there's the indirect one on if marketers can't understand the value of where they're buying their media, to your point, they're just going to dump it potentially more in Facebook.
What the unintended consequences of all this is just people just will spend more on Facebook and Google because it's just easier.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is human behavior in some ways is... about what's easy, right?
Yeah, so. And it is. I mean, like, think about it. If Facebook have a button-up, privacy policy, as do Google, why would you bother with, you know, the 20%, which is all over the place? We're like, if you think about all the court cases right now, or all the cases, the DPA. Is it DPA in Ireland or DPC?
It's DPC, I think.
Right, DPC. Are investigating, like, you know, most of them are Oath and Coincast and all. They're 20% companies. It's a tough space, but we'll solve it on Monday.
On that positive, optimistic note, Kieran, thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
And thank you all so much for listening.